Thank you, Preston and Robin. Amen. You glad they're here? Aren't you glad? Thank you. Thank you guys for coming. And Josh, thanks for coming. And Isaac, we're always glad you're here, man. Yeah, he's here every week. He's faithful every week. So we're grateful. Thank you guys for leading us in worship today. Let me, first of all, welcome you. Thank you for worshiping with us. If you're a guest, we're glad that you're here today. Thank you for being here and worshiping with us today. We've had a busy summer. We have, I think, even a busier August and September and the rest of the fall. So let me do this. I want to share a couple announcements, and then after that, we're going to jump right into the message, and I want to talk to you about that a little bit before I start teaching. First of all, I shared with you last week, and I probably will every week leading up to it. September, I will teach the Struggle Is Real series. I taught last year on this, and I want to do it again. We had a great response, and I hope we were able to encourage many, and I want to be able to do the same again this year. And so this series is talking about what the Bible has to say about mental health, mental illness. Week one, the truth about mental illness. Week two, the truth about anxiety. Week three, the truth about depression. And then week four, the truth about you and how God sees you, and then how you can comfort those around you that may be walking through that time. So that's coming in September. So I want you to just put that on your calendar and be thinking and praying through that, because I think the Lord will really bless and give us great ministry on that month. Second thing is we have our baptismal service August the 25th. August the 25th. So if you've surrendered your life to Christ, but you haven't followed through with a believer's baptism, we would love the opportunity to talk to you about that and answer questions you might have. You can sign up on the website. If you go to the website on the homepage, there's a baptism banner, and you click on that, it takes you to a sign-up form. So that's coming up August the 25th, so we're looking forward to that. And then also the men's ministry will be having a road rally on August the 24th. So these cards are available in the lobby, has information on the front and on the back, 8 o'clock here. August 24th is when it begins, and you can sign up online on our website. The information is on the back of the card of where to sign up. So, guys, great opportunity for you to connect with other guys here in our church, all right? So that's a road rally for the men, August the 24th. And then Grace Point groups. We have a whole new list of Grace Point groups, again, on our Facebook page, on our website, or you can pick up one of these cards out in the lobby. Pick up one of these cards out in the lobby. It has all the groups listed on the front, the different days and times from Sunday mornings to Wednesday night to Tuesday nights to Sunday nights. A lot of different opportunities for you to get connected. So I want to encourage you, pick one of those up or go to our website, Facebook page, and you can have all the information there. And just really pray about maybe where God would want you to connect and what group he would want you to be a part of. So that's coming quickly. And then also right after the service, Jeff Neal and a group from Grace Point are going to be going to Colorado for a mission trip to do some mission work up there. So please be praying for that group as they go this week, and they'll be back at the end of the week. So thankful for their commitment and for the work that God's going to do there. So a lot going on and a lot more as we kind of head towards September. Just stay in touch really through the bulletin, through the website, out in the lobby also with the information there. Okay, let me talk to you for just a minute about the message this morning. Last Sunday, I shared a message about God's provision with you. It was one of those things that, just in thinking about our church and where we were at, and that the Lord had kind of pressed on me, so I shared that with you. And my plan was to teach in James chapter 2 today. And so what I did this week is I wrote two messages this week. So I wrote James chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and it's the sin of partiality, which is a really good text, and it talks about, you know, how we want to treat everyone equal and how God sees people in that, right? So I wrote that one, but I also wrote a different message, and I've decided that I'm going to preach James 2 message next Sunday, maybe. That's the plan. And so today I want to talk to you about something else, something different, that springs from personal. But I hope, you know, every time I study the word, that it works in me first, and then I share, this is what God has shown me, and then God speaks to you. I hope it always works that way. This is the same way, except I guess maybe it's something that I've wrestled with for a while, and the Lord really kind of put his finger on it and convicted me about it. And so I want to share that and see if maybe you, you know, maybe you can relate to that also in some way, and the Lord will speak to you. Part of what I do, what I need to do as a pastor is to challenge you to think through your faith, to challenge you to really also evaluate you and where you're at, so today that's really what I'll do today. So today, a lot of what I'm sharing is it's not super organized in my mind yet. Although I did write this message, and we have takeaways at the end, but there's a lot of different parts to this. And so what I'm hoping is, as you, certainly I'll give you a biblical foundation for this and what I believe God showed me. But then as you go, really, this is one that I hope that you think through and you ask yourself the questions and you kind of look at where you are and measure yourself against what God's word has to say about this, and maybe wrestle with that and maybe talk, you know, to each other about that. And so when you think about idols, and I want to talk to you today about idol worship. When you think about idols, a lot of times people think about Old Testament. You know, we go back to Exodus and we think about the idol worship that happened in the Old Testament, or in some in Exodus when the Israelites got impatient as they were waiting on Moses on the hill talking to God, and they got impatient waiting on him to come down. And so the Bible says that they built this golden calf, and they were bowing down and worshiping this golden calf. Idol worship. And so Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 and 4 says this: "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Okay, idol worship. And we see that happening through, certainly through the Old Testament. So when we think about idol worship, a lot of times we think, well, that was then and that happened back then. That doesn't happen now. I mean, that was, but does it happen now? And to be more personal and specific, are there idols in your life that you're worshiping? And maybe it's happening and you don't even realize it. I think that's where I was. That we create idols in our lives and we begin to worship these idols and we maybe not even realize that we're doing it. So let me bring some clarity to it. On your outline, if you're taking notes, idolatry, not adultery, okay, but idolatry, the act of worshiping or loving something or someone more than you do God. Idolatry. The act of worshiping or loving something or someone more than you do God. And then the definition for idol: anything that you deem worthy enough to dethrone God from the seat of your heart is an idol. Anything that you deem worthy enough to dethrone God from the seat of your heart is an idol. Anything that you put before your God is an idol. Anything that you love more than God is an idol. So when we talk about idolatry and we talk about idol worship, I would argue that yes, it is alive and well today when we understand idolatry and what idols are and idol worship, that it happens. Sometimes intentional, sometimes not intentional. And so I was struggling a little bit recently, and part of this springs from ministry, and part of this springs from, you know, just personal life and ministry life. And, you know, seeing so many walk through so much and deal with suffering and struggle and difficulty. And so as I was just processing through some things, the Lord really kind of pressed into my heart and spoke to me. And when I say that, through the scriptures, as I was doing study, right? That I have an idol in my life. And I thought, well, surely that's not an idol. Can that be an idol? That's not an idol. Idols are, you know, a lot of other things. It's not that. And I said, no, I think it is. It's an idol. And the idol that I wrestle with and have been wrestling with and that I have created in my life is the idol of comfort. The idol of comfort. Can that really be an idol? Yeah, it can. It can. So then I kind of rewind and I think, well, how did I get there? And so I want this to unfold. Now I want to say this up front. There's in this message and in my mind, there's a lot of off ramps on this one. And I'm going to take a couple, but I want to try to stay on the main main road, because this can go a lot of different ways, right? So here I want to make some clarifications. First of all, I'm not saying comfort is wrong. First of all, okay, I'm not saying that, you know, if you are uncomfortable, then you know you're not in the will of God. That's not what I'm saying. The problem comes in when we pursue comfort more than we do God. Okay, and that's gonna what I want to show you here. What happens at times? I think I've done that. All right. Second is this: I'm not saying that if you're uncomfortable in terms of it's an unhealthy situation or a dangerous situation that you just need to, you know, push through that. I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about those type of settings or situations. As a matter of fact, I believe God gives us that impression at times when we're uncomfortable in a setting or a situation. You need to pay attention to that. You know, like you say to your kids when they're out somewhere, hey, anytime you're out, if there's anything that's going on and you feel uncomfortable, you call me, I'll come get you. That's the healthy stuff. I'm not talking about that, all right? I'm talking about just this passion, this desire, this pursuit of comfort in and around my life and to live in my comfort zone. Now, how did I get there? And not to make excuses, but here's how I think we can get there. When you think about it, which I have, and you think about it with me today, maybe you will even as you leave today, our culture is built, it's kind of built in us to live in comfort. Right? And even when we don't realize it. So you start thinking about it. So I start thinking about the summer. And I think, man, summer, we all, for the most part, people love summer. You know, there's a lot of vacations, school's out, teachers get a little bit of break. A lot of good, fun things that happen in the summer. But then sometimes, you know, I'll be walking outside and I'll go, golly, man, I hate summer. You know why I hate summer? It's so hot. And I'm so uncomfortable. Or I'll get out of my air-conditioned truck to walk to the front door of the church, which takes me about 10 seconds, and I'm whining about how hot it is. Oh, finally I'm inside. Whew, man. I'm so uncomfortable. It's so much more comfortable. As a matter of fact, you come into church on a Sunday morning, you're sitting here right now. We set the temperature so you would be comfortable. Now, some of you aren't, but you're going to have to get over that, you know. The 68-degree people don't like the 78-degree people, all right? Never please everybody. I learned that in seminary. So, but we do that, right? And let me also say this. All these things I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with these things, all right, in and of themselves, okay? You'll see where I'm going with it. So it's not wrong to be comfortable. It's not wrong for, it's not, we said it, we want you to be comfortable, right? And when we do get in our vehicles, man, we're going to get in that car or that truck, and I'm going to sit in there as I'm thinking about buying it, and I'm thinking, well, this feels pretty comfortable. Matter of fact, you get those really nice ones, and those babies ride. It's a smooth, comfortable, you don't even know when you hit a bump. And I've heard, I haven't experienced it yet, I've heard that some newer cars have seat warmers. Now, I'm not saying if you have seat warmers, you're a sinner, okay? I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not resenting you, okay? I'm not saying that at all. Seat warmers for the winters in Texas. Yeah. So I grew up in Indiana, so winter here in Texas. My dad says, is it winter there? Yeah, like 30? It's four below here. So in Indiana, grew up in Indiana. Anyway, so we do that though. Why? Because we want to be comfortable. That's why. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. Everything kind of put. As a matter of fact, when we're out in the community or when I'm out in the community talking to people, hey, Pastor Dave, listen, you need to be careful about what you say and how you say it, because even though you're speaking truth, you might make some people, especially in this day and time, feel uncomfortable. And hey, whoa. Matter of fact, listen, you really shouldn't yell. Well, you're going to have to get over that. Because you might make some people uncomfortable. Okay. Right? But so be careful. And we have comfort food, right? And we buy clothes that are comfortable. And, you know, make sure if you're going on the hike to wear comfortable shoes, you know, on and on and on and on. There's comfort food, right? There's a lot of things that we pursue to make us comfortable. And then at the end of the day, when we are ready to go to bed, we lay down in our very comfortable bed and mattress. Some people spend thousands of dollars to be comfortable. There's nothing wrong with that, being comfortable. I'm not saying. And then we put our head on a pillow. Man, that pillow needs to be just right, because if that pillow is not just right and I'm not completely comfortable, then we got a problem. I'm not going to sleep well. So my point being, we go on and on and on, but my point being is in our culture today, right, it really is all about being comfortable, making sure we're comfortable. Now, here's where I think, if we're not careful, that, even unknowingly, right, that, if we're not careful, I think can bleed over into our Christianity and our faith. And then we start to worship this idol of comfort. Have you ever thought about that? Just rhetorically, do you worship? Have you worshiped? I mean, I bow down to it. Maybe not even knowingly. Again, comfort itself is not wrong. It's when comfort becomes more of a pursuit than God that it starts to become an idol. But we all have, like, we all have our comfort zones, right? We all have our comfort zones, and I like to live in my comfort zone. I do not want to have to get outside of my comfort zone, because when I get outside of my comfort zone, I get very uncomfortable. So we like to stay in our comfort zone. Somebody said one time, I wrote it down, it was another pastor I was listening to, he said, comfort zones don't keep your life safe, they keep your life small. Comfort zones. We all have those. The question is, has this slipped into, has this bled over into my faith and my Christianity? And am I limiting myself because I don't want to be uncomfortable and maybe things God has for me to do because it's uncomfortable? And, you know, it should be all about comfort. One writer says this, one of Christianity's greatest idolatries today is also one of the most subtle and insidious, the idolatry of comfort. Widespread, especially in affluent Western contexts, comfort idolatry is the product of a consumeristic context that frames everything, including spiritual things, in terms of expressive individualism, self-fulfillment, and bettering yourself. In this context, going to church is just one among many other curated things that can add something to one's unique spiritual path toward wisdom and wellness and becoming a better person. Because it is so widespread and subtle, this framing doesn't often seem so deadly, but it turns Christianity into a product akin to a smartphone app, something the user can opt out in, can opt in or opt out of as is convenient or appropriate as needed, by only insofar as it suits them. If it is in any way uncomfortable or costly, the app is easily deleted. But a Christianity that's accessed only as it suits us, only when it's comfortable and on our own terms, is not real Christianity. To truly follow Jesus is to flip the cultural script on comfort. It is to shift one's gaze away from a consumer self and toward our worthy God, from an inward orientation to an outward, others-helping orientation. Healthy Christians are always wary of easing into comfortable Christianity. So this idol of comfort comes into our faith and our Christianity, right? And if we're not careful, you know, it's like, well, look, here's things that God's telling you to do. I would never do this, but I could see it happen. Here's things God's telling you to do. Okay, if you're comfortable with that, let's go with the Ten Commandments. If you're okay, if you're comfortable with that. Now, I don't want to preach on sin because I might make you uncomfortable. Let's not talk about the things that make us uncomfortable. Mental health, mental illness. That can make people uncomfortable. Do you want to talk about that? I mean, people may not. Right? Or our faith, or the things that we're called to do in service, or in obedience to walk in what God tells us to do. I want to stay in my comfort zone, even though I know I should do that, or because I'm uncomfortable. So it does, if we're not careful, kind of invade our faith and our life, and we want to stay in the place where it is comfort, and where there's comfort, and where it is uncomfortable, where it's comfortable. Comfort's not a bad thing unless you let it dethrone God. You seek it more than God, or you avoid everything and anything at all costs that might be uncomfortable, even the God-ordained things, even the things that God has for you. So there's two types of comfort, okay? I'm going to speed this thing up a little bit. Two kinds of comfort, those selfless and then they're selfish. The selfless kind of comfort, that's the good kind of comfort. So that's the comfort that you give to other people as they are walking through difficult times. We should do that, okay? That's the idea of looking outside of ourselves and comforting others. We need to do that. So when I talk about comfort, that's the good kind, if you will, of comfort. There's many scripture passages, Psalm 23, Matthew 11, 2 Corinthians 1. And so the idea, though, is as we come to comfort other people, which is a good thing, right? What we do is then through that, we're pointing them to the ultimate source of all comfort, and that is our God, okay? So as we're going to comfort, we're pointing them to God. Now, that doesn't mean you're necessarily sitting down with a scripture or something like that. Maybe, indeed, there's a time for that, right? But maybe it should be you coming alongside of them and loving them and praying for them and encouraging them and letting them know you care in Christ. You're loving them. And then that's pointing them that God's going to comfort them. And you're praying for God to comfort them. So that's the selfless kind of comfort. And then there's the selfish kind. That's what I want to really focus on here these next few minutes. This is where idol worship starts to enter. This is the kind of comfort that is for our own gain and our own benefit. This is less of an action and it's more of a state of being. All right, so I define it this way. A state of physical, mental, and even spiritual ease. It's freedom from pain, hardship, and anything that brings us discomfort. That place right there. That is my world. Come join me in my world. You know you want to. You would love to. Because let me read it again. A state of physical, mental, and even spiritual ease. It's freedom from pain, hardship, and anything that brings us discomfort. Man, we want it. That's my comfort zone, and I just want to stay in that place right there. Let me just stay there. And so I do everything I can, and I work really hard to create that in my life because I know that if I have that, I'll be good. That's idol worship, worshiping the idol of comfort more than God. Now, here's the deal. The desire for this kind of comfort comes at a cost. It's selfless. So what that means is, and again, we may not even realize at times, we're putting ourselves before anyone else, including God. This is the comfort that is at the root of many things we desire, including entertainment, food, our social image, relationships, good works. You may call those things can certainly be their own idols. But many times they point back to the idol of comfort. That's the idol at the heart of it all, right? Again, not these things in and of themselves wrong. It's the place we give them. It's what we expect from them. It's do these things. Do we give our heart to these things and draw from these things more than we give our heart to God and draw from God? We want to live at times, I think, in a life of no worries. Oh, man, that'd be awesome. A life where anxiety doesn't exist. A life where the idols of happiness and control, among others, can reign alongside the idol of comfort. That place. That place. And when we desire that, desperately pursue that, like I have before in my life, and trying to create that, we're worshiping the idol of comfort. And it brings us to the reality that no matter how hard we try, we cannot avoid the struggles and the sufferings and the difficulties. Our hearts ache under the pressure of this life, but it's because we were made for another world. We are aliens on this earth, and we live in this broken, fallen world. And so when we think about comfort, we think about that with our kids too. I mean, for the most part, don't we, a lot of times, when we think about our kids, we want to do everything to protect them and to try to keep them from going through difficult, hard situations, right? And if that is our idol, then we can intervene to try to get them out of an uncomfortable, difficult situation. Again, not unhealthy or dangerous, but just, you know, life at school or life with friends or whatever, or the idea that they're in the class and it's a hard class and it's hard and I have to study a lot and I don't have any friends in it. So you know what? Just, I understand what you're saying. Let me just transfer you out of that class and get you. Where are your friends? Which class are your friends in, sweetie? Now look, I get it. With my four going through school, there's times they need to transfer out of that class. There's a lot of times they don't need to transfer out of that class. They need to work hard in that class, be uncomfortable, and persevere. But as parents, sometimes I'm there too. Because we don't want them to be uncomfortable. Or other situations at school. You know, I can think of a number of different kinds where it's uncomfortable. And as a parent, I'm with you there. I want to pull them out to keep them from having to go through that. But that place is where they learn to trust God and their roots start to grow deep in those hard, uncomfortable, I know it is, situation. And they make it through that. And then you celebrate the fact they made it through that. Did you see God in that? He got you through that. That's what you say. And you point to that. You do it as adults too, and you model it for them and you show them. So people who worship the idol of comfort avoid uncomfortable situations at all costs. It can be anything, man. So some of you, like, let's say God moves a brand new neighbor in right next to you. Some of you who are extroverts, you crazy extrovert people, you're going to go over there as soon as they land in there, man. And then you're going to go over there. You're going to introduce yourself. You're going to have an hour-long conversation. You're going to know everything about them. You're going to come back and you tell your husband or wife. And the other person, the introvert person, would be like, I would never go over there in a million years. It's so embarrassing and awkward. And it's really uncomfortable for me to go over there. Right? You get that? But here's the deal. That's such a small little situation. You can play it out in bigger ones. But there's no reason other than your uncomfort, you shouldn't go over there, right? There's no reason. It may be that God placed that family there purposely right next to you so that you can influence them or that they can influence you. I don't know, but it's no mistake. They're right there. Now, I'm not saying you need to walk over with your Bible and start preaching and yelling at them like I do stuff like, I don't do that to my neighbors, like to you. Or you need to even go over there and say, let's have a word of prayer right now. You know, don't be weird, okay? Don't be weird, all right? But what I am saying is maybe you just need to go over and introduce yourself, you know, and welcome them to the neighborhood, right? And even that, okay, I know that sounds small, but I'm telling you, man, we get in this place, and this comfort zone is serious to us, man. And so even you doing that, it helps you break through a comfort zone to a place of where you're uncomfortable, and what are you going to do? You're trusting God with it, and it goes well, and you come back, and you see how God, even in a small thing like that, worked through that, right? So that's a small scale, but you can play that out in a lot of different situations. And so with our kids, too, we want to let them, and that's hard. It's hard. We have to let them. It's like when they go, you know, for some whose kids are going to kindergarten, you know, it's like, I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know this, like as hard as you try, some try harder than others, you're not going to protect your kids from everything. I mean, it's just not going to happen unless you follow them around for 12 years and then go to college with them, you know, and that's weird too. So you send them off to kindergarten, and that's kind of the beginning, right? And then they're going to have difficult times. So what I'm saying is, let's teach our kids to navigate through uncomfortable times, to see God in those uncomfortable times. They are going to have those. We are all going to have those. If you truly want to press into Christ, if you truly desire an ever-growing relationship with Him, idols have to go. Your idea of a perfectly comfortable life where everything goes your way all the time and allows you to live free of suffering has to go. Right, that's an idol. And that man, that's right at me when God just was right at me, because that's kind of my heart, is when I see you go through suffering, when my family or friends or go through suffering, my heart is I want to do everything to pull you out of that. And so what this does is it forces me, and I think all of us, it forces us then to develop biblically a theology of suffering. To know that no matter how hard we try, there have been, there will be, there are times of suffering that we walk through. And listen, even though we go through times of suffering and we go through things that we don't understand, and there are tragedies and struggles and trials and things we can't make sense of, even in the midst of all of that suffering and difficulty that brings so much uncomfortable situation and so much discomfort, in the midst of all of that, we still must profess that God is sovereign. He's still in control. I don't understand it all, man. I don't understand it all, but I'm choosing to trust God in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the struggle. I'm not saying we jump up and down in the midst of suffering, but I am saying for me, and maybe for you, my focus, my heart needs to see God in the midst of the uncomfortable struggle and suffering, that there's something there, as opposed to why did this happen, and let's get them out as fast as we can. And the idol of comfort kind of tends us to want to pull back from those uncomfortable, certainly, situations. One writer says this, and then we're going to finish with takeaways. The problem with the idol of comfort is that it is never filled and never satisfied. It's like a bucket with a hole in the bottom. We keep filling it, and it immediately empties back out. That gallon of ice cream only lasts so long, and then it's gone. We can escape to Facebook until the baby wakes up, and then reality crashes in upon us. The show we were watching eventually comes to an end, and we are still the same person. The same struggle, the same uncomfortable problems. The idol of comfort only provides a temporary stay. It can never fill the void. That's why we find ourselves needing more and more of whatever that pleasure is. It's an idol whose hunger is never satisfied. And so we have to look ultimately to God for our comfort in that valley, in that uncomfortable situation. Okay, I'm going to give you the takeaways. I'm going to do it just like I did in the first two services. I'm just going to hit the takeaway, the scripture verse, and then we move into our invitation time. Okay, takeaway number one, don't run from the uncomfortable situations. Okay, don't run from the uncomfortable situations. They're going to happen. You can't protect yourself from every single thing that's going to be uncomfortable. Don't run from those things. Face them head on. All right, I'm not going to let that keep me from getting out of my comfort zone. If indeed I know God is in this, I'm not going to run from the uncomfortable situations. It might be uncomfortable, it might be awkward, but I'm not going to run from that. I'm going to learn to be content. Philippians 4:11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Okay, so I know he's talking about whether he had plenty or little, but the idea, the spirit of it is, in Christ, I will be content right where he has me. And even in these situations, it might be uncomfortable. Takeaway number two, understand that God wants to use that uncomfortable situation to teach you more about Him and deepen your faith in Him. That's what God's going to do with that situation for you and for your kids as they walk through it, okay? It takes faith. It takes trust to step out of that comfort zone. Hebrews 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and He rewards those who seek Him. That's what uncomfortable situations do, right? I must depend on God. I must have faith to get there. I'm seeking Him in the midst of it. And then He rewards us for that because you stepped out of your comfort zone. You trusted God and you were able to see God in the uncomfortable circumstance. Takeaway number three, don't pursue your comfort and pleasures more than you do Jesus. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Those comforts, those pleasures, I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm saying, unless it's sin, obviously, but those things, just make sure you're not pursuing those things more than you do Jesus. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all. Circled, underline, your heart. All your heart. Don't chase after those things, those created things more than Jesus. Which leads me to takeaway number four. The last one is pursue Jesus most. Pursue Him most. The truth is this. The more we pursue our comforts and pleasures, the more they pursue us. The more we pursue our comforts and pleasures, the more that they pursue us. And get strongholds, right? So they become our taskmaster. They begin to rule our life and they become idols in our life. And this is why 1 Peter 1:3, we're reminded that our only hope is found in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus is always the hero of the story. He's the hero of the message. Right? He is the one that provides us comfort. Pursue Him the most. Let's pray together and stand. Will you stand with me as we pray? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just share this last thing with you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as we just think about the idol of comfort. Don't settle for anything that keeps you from Jesus. Don't settle for anything that keeps you from Jesus. Instead, take up your cross and follow Him wherever that may lead. Remember, Jesus did not leave the eternal convenience of heaven, talk about comfort, for the fleeting convenience of this world. He came to destroy our idols so that we might have Him forever. Following Christ leads to something better than the world's temporary comforts. It leads to a true and better rest, a true and better Savior. We know the end. The hard road leads to God Himself. The hard, uncomfortable road leads to God Himself. Your Savior guarantees an eternal reward that outshines all the false conveniences of this world. So, Father, we are thankful that You are a faithful God. I thank You for Your presence among us today. I pray You take every word I shared and You just bring clarity, that Your words settle into our hearts, and that we're responding to You now, God, that our hearts are turned toward and in tune with You and who You are. And if there are idols, it might be something, Father, totally different than what I'm talking about today, but if there is, that we will with courage tear those down, dethrone those so that we can place You in Your rightful place in our hearts. So give us wisdom, give us truth, conviction, and a heart, God, to hear and to follow. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. With our heads bowed, let me just ask you, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's just continue to worship. Some of you, maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ. The gospel is good news, my friend. It's good news. That while the Bible says our sins separated us from God, that God sent Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. He rose from the grave. And today, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that He died on that cross and rose from the grave, and we ask Him to be our Lord and Savior, we will be saved. So if you've never made that decision, we invite you to come. I'll be here at the front. There'll be others, staff and elders that are here to welcome you. We'll pray with you and lead you in that prayer of salvation. If you've never made that decision, we invite you to come today. There may be other things on your heart you want us to pray with you, or you just want to come to the altar, or just where you're standing. However the Lord leads you. This is your time. Maybe you're just singing and worshiping. However the Lord leads you, let's continue to worship Him this morning.